Welcome to the Wampa's Lair Podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl Eclair and Jason Hunt, discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair Podcast. This is episode number 223. Yes, my master. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the Kylo Ren to my siblings. We have
I was wondering who you were going to put me with. When you said Kylo Ren, I got excited because I like being Kylo, and maybe he'd be a different animal if he was trained by Sidious and not Snoke, I think.
That is very true. And a much scarier animal, I think.
I think so too, yes. So
he would not be nearly as tempted by the light.
No, there would be no light.
Right.
Remember, there was one of those...
He probably would have just thrown Han off the catwalk before Han could get close.
Yeah, good point. I think there was when we got that early toy release stuff, there was a Kylo Ren mask where he actually had a line where I'm immune to the light or something. But that was never in the movie, unfortunately. That was a cool line though.
Right.
But anyway, in case you're wondering what we're going to be talking about this episode, we are going to be doing another two-part episode where we're going to look at our top five master-apprentice relationships. But this episode, we're going to be looking at our top five master-apprentice relationships on the dark side. And then next week on next show, we'll be looking at our favorite light side moments similar to this, in case you were wondering.
Yes. Yes.
But before we get into the topic itself, Jason, we did have yet another poll from our last episode. We're continuing on the polls of your favorite scenes from each of the Star Wars films, working our way backwards. We are now finding ourselves at episode 4, A New Hope, or to many of you classic fans, simply Star Wars. I know when I put the post on Facebook, I purposely made sure to put A New Hope / Star Wars for all the traditionalists out there. Jason, where did the polls have us?
Well, we had quite the breadth of options that were put out here. In sixth place, with one vote each, we had the stormtrooper bumping his head, Han chasing the stormtroopers through the Death Star, the escape from the Death Star, so the TIE fighter Millennium Falcon fight, the trash compactor, Vader torturing Leia. The whole movie was given as an option. It's not quite a scene, but I included it here. Dinner with the Lars family, Vader versus Kenobi, and the lack of faith scene. I find your lack of faith disturbing. And then in fifth place with two votes, we had the scene at Obi-Wan's hovel. In fourth place with three votes, the battle over Tatooine. So the opening battle sequence with the Tanith Four and the rebel troopers going up against the stormtroopers.
Hey, what's that flashing? It's a space battle. Come on, Treadwell, let's go.
Exactly. Yay. In third place with four votes, we had the binary sunset. In second place with six votes, we have the cantina. And that's where your vote went.
You're darn right it's where it went. I love the cantina scene. It's always that scene that just makes me look up and just, I don't know, it's like that first like real hit of Star Wars of how big the galaxy is. And it's, I don't know, getting to see Han Solo for the first time. I love Han Solo's introduction and everything. Not to mention Figuring Dad and the model nodes. So, yeah, I love
that
scene.
Kept playing.
Oh, no problem. So, yeah, I'm actually surprised that this beat out the binary sunset.
Yeah, a lot of people like this scene for various reasons, and one of the more popular reasons was what you said, the introduction of Han Solo. But our number one scene from A New Hope, and the scene that nobody should come as any surprise, is my pick, the Battle of Yavin, or the Trench Run Battle, you know. It's that end space battle with the X-Wings, the TIE Fighters, and the Death Star.
It's really loud, sorry.
And the Death Star at the end finally goes, kablooey, and the Rebels did it. So, you know, I love this scene. It's my favorite scene by far in A New Hope. And I love the special edition changes they made to make it faster and more cooler.
And more intense.
And more intense. And more cooler is not proper English. I just wanted to point that out. I do know that, but...
it's Star Warsy in English. It's allowed.
Yeah. Yes, we'll go with that. But yeah, that had 9 votes for our number one spot, the Battle of Yavin.
You know, that battle means so much more after seeing Rogue One in my book.
Yes, you know, yes, it does.
Everything about Rogue One enhanced A New Hope, but we can talk about that on some other episode. But yeah, the Battle of Yavin, just like seeing all those folks, you know, finally complete what, you know, the Rogue One crew started. Ah, so good. So good.
Yeah.
And how about what's his face on last week's episode of Rebels there?
Wedge?
Wedge was on this week's most recent one.
Oh.
But yes, so him, but also Gold Leader was on last week's.
Yeah.
So the non-filler episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Is it the Dutch Vandar? Is that?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
It is Dutch.
Yeah, Dutch.
Sometimes I get my gold and red leaders mixed up. So
sometimes. Yeah. So thank you everyone for your responses as always.
Yes. We've got a good poll for you at the end of this episode, so stick around for that.
Oh, it's not a poll, it's a matchup.
That's what I meant.
I know. That's why I was clarifying.
I'm tired, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Long day at work.
Jason, let's talk some dark side stuff.
Dark side. Master Apprentice moments.
Yes. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of Master Apprentice. Obviously, there's a lot of these Master Apprentice relationships for the dark side take place in the PT.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling we'll have quite a few of those moments. But we shall never forget the apprenticeship of Darth Vader to Darth Sidious. How cool would it have been if, you know, in one of the, you know, because George did go back and make some more changes with the Blu-rays. I think it would have been so cool if it just at one point, somewhere in Return of the Jedi, he was referred to as Darth Sidious. I just think that'd be so cool. You know,
that would have been.
I mean, it makes sense he's being referred to as the Emperor the whole time. I mean, specifically by like the, you know, like the military aspect, right? Because that's what he is. Mm-hmm. His Sithiness, if you will, is probably not super public knowledge, but I would have just loved it if like Yoda or Obi-Wan or even Vader referred to him as Darth Sidious to Luke or something like that. Or if Luke, like when he goes in to confront him, I mean, this would be a hard thing to add because you don't have Mark Hamill ever saying these lines, but you know, how cool would it be if, you know, how like when he comes, when he's talking to Vader on the gangplank there after he surrenders himself, he says, I know you were once Anakin Skywalker, my father. If when he's walking up to the Emperor, he says, I know who you are, Darth Sidious, something like that, right? Like just say something to know that like he knows more about the Emperor than he might have thought.
Ooh.
I just think that.
Or perhaps Vader introduces him to his master, Darth Sidious.
Yeah. I just think it'd be so cool to have him just at least once. Just in Return of the Jedi. You don't need it in Empire or A New Hope for sure, but just so cool, especially if in like one of those confrontation moments where he's somebody like slips in there that like this is Darth Sidious.
Right. That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be very cool.
That's a potential change for when they re-release them on laser discs again, you know.
The new and improved.
The new and improved laser discs. you have to change the disc every 20 minutes. Oh man.
That's anyway.
But anyway, well, I know you've got a couple honorable mentions. I've only got one, so I'm gonna let you kick the party off.
All right. So I kind of went more with specific moments or scenes. I know we were kind of doing relationships. So I was like, oh, but these scenes are so great. And
I had multiple scenes with
multiple.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I did all mine. Okay,
so we're on the same page.
Yeah. I'm doing like specific scenes.
Okay, good. All right, cool. So my first honorable mention goes to, I believe the Clone Wars episode was called Revenge? It might have been Revenge. But the first episode of Season 5 with Maul and Savage as they are rampaging across the galaxy before they take on Hondo.
Oh, Revival. That's the name of that episode.
Revival. Thank you. It is Revival.
That's the one of the few I remember because we watched it together.
Yes.
With Steve Glosson. We watched it together
at Celebration Orlando.
Yes.
It was amazing. Celebration 6.
Celebration 6, back when they had numbers.
Exactly. Back when they were episodes and not just... Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Celebration, a Star Wars event.
Yes, that's going to happen now. Star Wars Celebration, a Star Wars story. We can get Star Wars in this twice. anyway, so my moment from this episode is from the beginning of the episode, and it's after they've taken over the Black... Is it a Black Sun? Space Station, I think.
I don't think
it's... The space station at the beginning where they're robbing the place.
I don't think it's anybody's in particular. I think it's just like it might be like a banking clans or something of that nature. I don't know if it belongs to Black Sun directly, but yeah.
They're robbing the place to get the money so they can bribe the pirates. And Savage is talking to Maul like they're old brothers again, like they're old pals. Like, this is great that we're working together and we're finally a team again. And Maul is not having any of it. And he completely just asserts his dominance as master over his brother and changes the dynamic of their relationship for the remainder of the series. And, you know, when he grabs his, you know, pins him down to the ground with his robot leg and, like, grabs his face and gets all up in his face and threatens him and tells him, you know, I am the master, you're my apprentice. And I forget the dialogue specifically, but it's still one of the most dynamic scenes between the two of them, and it was just out of left field. I didn't expect it to happen, and Maul's like, no, I'm back and I'm in charge, and you're not just my brother anymore, you're my apprentice and you're going to serve me. And it was just, you know, very surprising but also very Sith-like, which is odd because he's not a Sith anymore.
Right. Yeah, I love that moment too. It's just didn't make my list, and I'm glad it's on yours. Because I always thought that was so funny when he does. He, like, takes his clawed foot and just, you know, knocks him right down, pins him down like that. Mm-hmm. It's not much of a contest, but you're right. It's very interesting because Maul is no longer a Sith. He hates the Sith, in a sense, because of Sidious kind of abandoning him.
Right.
And now he's just taking on the Sith role because all along, and then Savage does, you know, he's like, when they start talking, Savage is like, there is no reason to be rivals here, brother, right? Like,
right.
But Maul is saying, nope, you have to be subservient to me. So, you know, and yeah. You're right, like, that just totally changes the relationship moving forward. And Savage, like, just kind of accepts it. Once he kind of gets beaten down so quickly, he just kind of becomes the subservient lesser, you know? And, okay,
right.
I'll serve you. I guess I'm your apprentice now.
Yeah. It was quick, but it was surprising, and that's why it's an honorable mention for me.
Yeah. Well, my honorable mention also comes from the Clone Wars, and I forgot to look up which episode it is. You might remember for us, though. It's this the scene where Dooku is training Savage.
I forget the name of that episode.
Season 3, right? Or is it season 4?
It is 3.
Okay, season 3. I apologize. I can't remember the episode, but... you know, and I know we've talked about this scene before, but it's been a long time. It's the only scene in Star Wars where we actively see Sith training, or any dark side training for that matter. Again, I'm hoping we might see some dark side training with Snoke and Kylo in episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool to watch, you know, the way they train. And what's interesting is, you know, is Dooku is, there's some similarities to a Jedi's training, you know, like Dooku is trying to get Savage to empty his mind, you know, which is a very Jedi thing in a sense, so he can tap into the Force. But what he uses to feed his connection to the Force is anger and hatred. You know, as Dooku starts, you know, Savage is struggling to lift those pillars up, and then Dooku starts, you know, Force lightning him, and he's like, draw on your anger, draw on your hatred, and, like, that's what allows Savage to do it. So the thing that feeds their training is, you know, brutality, really. You know, I mean, it's a very different dynamic, you know, between a Jedi and his master and a Sith and his master. You know, there's savagery in it and brutality. So it's just really neat to see that, to see, you know, Dooku's probably using a lot of the similar tactics that Sidious did with him. Although I have a feeling he probably had like an advanced course in training because he was so powerful in the Force already, Dooku.
Yeah.
I doubt he quite had the intensity like Savage is getting here, or even Darth Maul probably had.
Right.
But yeah, it's really cool to see that, to see how the Sith do their training.
Yeah, no, I thank you for including this. I completely overlooked this in making my list, but it's a great scene, and you're right. It is one of the very few, if not only, explicit dark side training scenes we ever get in Star Wars. And it's really kind of, you know, it's a little weird for me because, you know, I like Dooku. He's the, you know, he's the gentleman villain in a sense, in many respects. But in this case, he's not very gentlemanly at all. You know, he's got this very dignified air when he presents himself, even to his opponents. And yet we get him against, you know, with training Savage here, and he's just brutal. And it's not even, you know, close to being fair or funny. And it is definitely an interesting look into the training of a Sith. So, And actually, my other honorable mention takes place sort of around this scene that you had here. I kind of cheated a little bit, and I included an entire arc of the Clone Wars. Just a bit. It's a little cheat. And that's going to be the Night Sister arc, which this is part of. But I'm primarily focusing on the dynamic between Dooku and Ventress, because Dooku was training Ventress, you know, sort of secretly to be his apprentice and to, you know, ultimately be the one to help him overthrow Sidious. But then he's forced to turn on her and betray her, and we get the whole, you know, dynamic of her trying to take her revenge on Dooku, and Dooku asserting his dominance over her time after time, even though she keeps coming at him with these assassination attempts and turning Savage on him and all this stuff. And it's just a very interesting dynamic that I really enjoyed and was, you know, one of the first, you know, sort of game changer arcs in the Clone Wars that really said, yeah, we're stepping up. So, the Night Sister arc is still one of my favorite arcs, and that's why it's making an honorable mention here.
Well, that fits well with my number five, because my number five is the specific scene where Sidious orders Dooku to kill Asajj. And I guess so, from my perspective, this is a Sidious Dooku moment. Whereas obviously you're looking at it from Dooku Asajj, and it's just, you know, I think Sidious is onto the fact, like, he knows that Dooku has Asajj as an assassin, but I think he's become well aware, and he says it, you know, she's become too powerful, you know, and he orders him to kill her. And Dooku does it. Like, he immediately makes the order. He does what he's told. And I think the reason I like this, because again, it showcases the relationship between the master and the apprentice. Dooku is like a whipped dog here, you know, like, he does exactly as his master says. And while to me, Dooku is definitely close to Asajj, I don't mean like in an emotional way. Sith don't have those sorts of emotions.
No.
But there is certainly, he definitely has an attached feeling to her, because he certainly does hope that she will help. I really do think Dooku wants to use her eventually to try to overthrow Sidious. That is the way of the Sith. And I think Sidious is on getting, you know, he smells that now, and he's just orders a swift end to it. And Dooku does it. So again, it shows us the brutality of what a Sith Lord might ask. I mean, it's like being in a gang, right? Like, if you're in if you're in a gang and like you're told to like make a hit on somebody, like, you do it, you have to do it. And this is almost what it is. It's like this kind of like aggressive, violent gang mentality of, you know, Sidious puts out a hit on Asajj and Dooku has to follow through. So, you know, again, I really like it because of that dynamic. It really shows. And again, like, I love it when Sidious appears, right? He's always higher than Dooku. Even though Dooku's up on his throne, Sidious is still higher, even as a hologram. Yeah. And, you know, Dooku immediately kneels down, and, you know, he at first does try to like weasel his way out of it, But he says, no, like, you'll do as I say. And again, I wish I had the clip to pull up, but I got lazy and I didn't. but it's, you know, it's just this great moment where Dooku just, he does his master's bidding. And as powerful as Dooku is, it's just so interesting to see how subservient he is.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely the number two man in the relationship. You know, yes. Palpatine Sidious is top dog, which is funny because, you know, Palpatine is such an unassuming man, and he's not very tall and intimidating, but get him behind that hood, and he's scary as all get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, well, I love that. I love that scene. So,
what's your number five?
Well, my number five, and I'm taking the idea of a master apprentice relationship or, you know, moment here and stretching it just a little bit because I wanted to bring up the scene where Kylo talks to Vader. In The Force Awakens as my number five, you know, where he's talking to Vader's mask.
Interesting.
And I think Kylo wants Vader to have been his master.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, obviously he would have loved to, you know, meet his grandfather as, you know, Darth Vader and all this stuff. And he idolizes the Dark Lord. That much is blatantly obvious. But, you know, in his moment of struggle, he doesn't go and take this to his, you know, technically actual master, Snoke. He goes and talks to his grandfather, you know, or the idea, the spirit of his grandfather. And, you know, he expresses his concern that he's, you know, feels the pull of the light and he doesn't know what to do. And it's still one of the best scenes in The Force Awakens with all the helmet acting in that. And it's amazing. It's such a good scene. But since we don't really know the dynamic between Snoke and Kylo Ren, other than to say that Kylo and Hux vie for Daddy's approval, you know, Snoke's approval, we don't really know what the master-apprentice relationship is like with the two of them. I decided to include sort of a Vader-Kylo Ren connection there, so...
Somewhere Kylo Ren is just absolutely in love with this idea.
yes he is. Little Ben Solo is just jumping up and down in his Darth Vader PJs, swinging his lightsaber going, yay!
Yeah. So, well, again, what's so interesting is, yeah, obviously we get tons of those memes where Ben Solo is obsessed with Vader, but again, if you've read Bloodline, hashtag spoiler alert coming up, but he doesn't know that Darth Vader's his father until like a few years before the events of Force Awakens. Yeah. So again, we can speculate that had something to do with driving him to the dark side, feeling lied to.
Yes.
But anyway, that's a very interesting moment. I would have never thought to put it on here because it's not a literal master apprentice, but it's definitely a much coveted master apprentice relationship for Kylo.
Yeah. It is.
Really cool point. I love that scene. It's one of my favorite scenes. It's my favorite Kylo Ren scene in the movie. And it's just like, the helmet acting. But yeah, I mean, this is someone who he's struggling here. And he even points out, like, you know, Supreme Leader senses it, you know. Right. And it's, you know, whatever his Kylo's attraction is to the dark side is through his knowledge of Darth Vader. You know, that's where his attraction lies. So to him, Snoke is still a nobody compared to Vader, you know? So it's very obvious how much he wants that. And even, you know, when Rey pulls that out of his head later in the film, you know, you're afraid you won't be as strong as Darth Vader. Like, it's so obvious that Kylo just wants to be Darth Vader.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is his attraction to the dark side is driven solely by the fact that his grandfather was Darth Vader. Snoke is just a tool to him to get there at this point. Yes, he's probably a very domineering tool and someone he's probably scared of in a way, but Vader is the reason why Snoke is just the tool to get there.
Yeah.
At least from what we can tell so far.
Right.
Right. So number four, what's your number four?
My number four, I'm going to play a quick clip here because I really like it. So give me 1 second. This comes from The Phantom Menace.
If the trace was correct, I will find them quickly, Master.
Move against the Jedi first. You will then have no difficulty in taking the Queen to Naboo to sign the treaty.
At last, we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
You have been well trained, my young apprentice. They will be no match for you. You have been well trained, my young apprentice. There will be no match for you.
I know. I realize I could have just let you do it, but...
Oh, I love that scene.
It's so good.
Yes.
I mean, it's the only real scene we get between Maul and Sidious other than, you know, Lord Maul, be mindful. Yes, my master. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's not much beyond this. But it's so great because I think even in this little scene, we learn a lot about, though, at least their relationship. And I think Sidious's relationship with each of his apprentices is very unique. You know, it's probable that Maul is the youngest apprentice he has. Obviously, he's much younger than Dooku. And I think he's, you know, probably in episode one, he's probably around the same age as Anakin was in episode three. Maybe a year or two younger, a year or two older. You know, what's so interesting is, first off, the fact that they're on literally Palpatine's balcony. I mean, it's so obvious later in the movie when, you know, we can see out the window there. And it's like, yep, that's the balcony Sidious was on with Darth Maul earlier. So for anybody who saw that movie and was still confused that Sidious and Palpatine were the same, it's like right there is a huge giveaway.
Huge giveaway. Of course, you know, you see Palpatine's balcony in the daytime from inside, but it's still right there.
Right. Right.
Right there.
But what's so cool about this is Sidious, to some degree, has a certain amount of confidence in Darth Maul, because what Maul is about to do is make the presence of the Sith known to the galaxy again, right? Like, everything they've done has been in the shadows up till now. And, you know, it's all about to, like, become out there in the open. And Sidious is sending him out to do this. So it's like this really big moment. And, you know, Maul is ecstatic. Like, you know, at last we will reveal ourselves and have revenge. You know, he's obviously been groomed to hate the Jedi, and he's so ready. And again, if you've been, I don't know if the second comic has come out yet. It probably has. I'm always wicked behind, but I did read the first one, you know, and in that first comic, you get a sense of his frustration that he's not allowed to go after Jedi yet, because it takes place before Phantom Menace.
Right.
And, you know, so even just that first comic kind of enhanced that scene even a little, because you really can tell how much Maul is relishing the fact that he's going to get to go out there and sink his teeth into the Jedi now. And that says a lot about Sidious. Sidious, you know, there'll be no match for you. And, you know, we can suspect that he has really done a number training Darth Maul. And he's confident that, you know, Maul's going to accomplish the job here. And I think Maul, even more so than Dooku, was a much more complete apprentice for Sidious. You know, Maul has become like a fine-tuned weapon, and that's exactly how Sidious uses him. You know, he uses Dooku for his kind of political machinations and brilliance, but Maul is literally just a dagger that he's using. You know, I mean, Maul is a well-trained weapon. So, and he's about to unleash that monster on the galaxy, which is just so cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. Maul is relishing this. This is what he was trained for, what he was, you know, in a sense, at this point, probably believes was born for. This is, you know, finally he gets to, you know, take on the Jedi, stop hiding in the shadows. And he's just so, he's looking forward to this mission with such anticipation. And it's really interesting because, you know, by contrast, Sidious is, while seeming confident in his apprentice's ability, it seems almost like he's more confident in the plan than his apprentice himself. The apprentice himself, you know, he's more, you know, saying, you know, everything is proceeding as I have foreseen, in a sense. You know, this is his plan, and it's finally getting to be put into motion. And, while Maul definitely seeks the approval and the, you know, of Palpatine, Palpatine gives it, but in a way that almost seems like, well, this is what he needs to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And again, in light of, you know, Clone Wars, we know that Maul was originally part of the Clone War plan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when he says, you know, so the war's begun without me. You know, it makes me really curious what Sidious's plan is here then in this moment. Because when you unleash Maul, like, the Jedi are going to immediately know that there's the Sith are back. So, and the Clone War is far from, you know, happening. So I'm just really curious what the original master plan was.
Yeah, that would be really interesting to find out one of these days, is what was the original plan? How was this all originally supposed to go down? And what changed from Maul to Dooku? What was Dooku able to do better that Maul wouldn't have been able to do? And what had to be changed because Dooku couldn't have accomplished what Maul could have, you know?
Right. I wonder if, right, so we talked about this in a previous episode, but the MacGuffin kind of a Phantom Menace is getting, you know, the Queen to sign the treaty. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that treaty, because that's what he sent him there for too, right? Like, he sends Maul specifically to get the Queen and bring her back. He says, yes, first deal with the Jedi, because basically you kill them, you will have no trouble then. But, you know, his mission ultimately is to bring Padme back to Naboo and force her to sign this treaty. I wonder if there's something in that treaty which will then cause an uproar in the Senate, which would then lead to war, right? Maybe it wasn't a clone war that Maul was supposed to specifically be involved in, but he was going to be a catalyst to starting a war.
Is possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
So many unanswered questions.
Yes. Like, for instance, what's your number four favorite moment?
Oh, well, it's funny you mentioned that.
Hop on my segue, won't you?
Yes. And I'm going to wend my way back into the Clone Wars for one last time. My number four moment is when Palpy gets his hands dirty, a.k.a. Zabrak takedown, a.k.a. Darth Sidious just goes to town on Darth Maul and Savage. I love this moment. And it's, you know, when former master and former apprentice finally clash. And we were building to this. You were getting fed up with the fact that obviously Palpatine needs to do something. He has to know this is going on. And then, of course, he did do something about it. And it was epic and amazing in a way that we never expected it could have been. And, oh, I loved it so much. I loved it so much. I almost love the trailer more than the actual moment because the actual episode, because of the fact that we saw it at Celebration 6 in that room and everyone just lost their minds and we had to pick up pieces of brain from the back wall on our way out the door. It was amazing. Oh, having flashbacks to Celebration 6 right now.
I can't wait. We're less than a month away from Celebration Orlando again. It's going to be great.
It's like a month. It's like actually almost exactly a month, yeah. Is it? Oh my god!
Yeah, yeah. A month yesterday.
Holy buckets! Okay.
Yeah. By the way, we're recording this on a Tuesday. We normally release these on Thursday. So in case you're wondering, like, they don't know their dates. So yes, we are actually recording this on Tuesday. So
yeah,
the 13th or whatever, or 14th. Sorry, yeah, it's Pi Day today. for all you math people. But anyway, yeah, no, that, you know, Jason, that I thought about that moment, but the only reason I didn't put it on my list is because I was thinking of more like synergy between master and apprentice rather than conflict. But this
right.
This isn't a way. Well, although he does say, you know, there can only be two and you are no longer.
You are no longer my apprentice.
Yeah, that's so good. But yeah, this is one of the best lightsaber duels in Star Wars, period. Not even counting, like, even including the movies. I mean, we've gotten awesome duels in both Clone Wars and Rebels, but, you know, a lot of them, they're still like, while they're great, like, they're still a cartoon duel. And that's not to diminish them. They're great for what they are. But, you know, to watch that compared to a film, it's certainly a different animal. But this particular duel, this is one of the ones from the TV series that is right up there with the films. It's just so freaking great.
Palpatine is just so animalistic.
Yeah.
When he goes after these two, it's scary. He's such a predator.
Yes. Yeah.
In this.
Well, I mean, I love it when, you know, Maul is like got his head between his knees before he comes in. And he's like, you know, his mind is like swimming and he's like, I feel a presence since Master, you know, and then boom, the two guards like get thrown up against the wall, getting forced.
They start climbing the wall by their necks.
Yeah. Such a good moment. And I always remember when I remember reading an early script of Revenge of the Sith that had like leaked online because I'm a spoiler like junkie, and something in the scripts, you know, so like when Sidious fights Yoda, it talks about how he's like a dynamo of like electricity. He's just like, he's unstoppable with his lightsabers, and he's extremely ambidextrous, which, by the way, which is sad, I was in college at the time and I didn't know what that word meant, so I had to look it up. But but apparently like he was supposed to be like either hand, didn't matter, like he would wield two lightsabers and just be unstoppable. Like it was just so cool to see that in the Clone War, because I'm still not crazy about any of the Palpatine Sidious fights in Revenge of the Sith. They're fine. I think they could have been done a lot better, but that is the Darth Sidious fight I wanted to see. Yeah. It's so good.
Part of that reason is you had Ian McDiarmid, who really didn't want to do lightsaber fights, doing stuff in conjunction with a stunt double,
right?
Doing a lot of the other really cool stuff, and it just... sometimes it didn't blend quite right.
Yeah. But. Well, and also I think Sam Jackson's pretty pathetic too. I don't think he's very, I don't think he's good. He's just as big of a problem as Ian McDiarmid. So it just, that fight does not work for me. It's fine, but it's not that great. I remember that being a fight that let me down. So, aww. But I put that more on Sam Jackson.
So, okay.
Especially in light of his comments when Force Awakens came out, and he was a little snarky about the lightsaber fight in that. It's like, dude, like those fights were way better than yours, bro. like immensely better. Again, my opinion. I'm sure there's folks out there that love that fight, but I think it doesn't work well because of Sam Jackson's inabilities. So,
gotcha.
So, Sam Jackson gives Mace Windu a bad name. So, but anyway, number three.
Number three. Yep.
So this is one I didn't pull up a clip for because I thought you could just do it for us. Okay. And it's from the end of Attack of the Clones. It's the when welcome home, Lord Tyrannus. You have done well.
You've done well. I have good news for you, my lord. War has begun. Excellent. Everything is proceeding as I have foreseen.
Yes, thank you. I didn't bother pulling that up. But also, part of the thing I love as well is, give me one second, I want to...
The Force is with us, Master Sidious.
Welcome home, Lord Tyrannus. You have done well.
All right, so yeah, here we go. We've got him flying in, so we get the Emperor theme, but I love... Here we go. I love this music right here, as they're talking.
The Force is with us, Master Sidious.
It's Master Sidious. Welcome home, Lord Tyrannus. You've done well.
I have good news for you, my lord. The war has begun.
Excellent. Everything is proceeding as I have foreseen.
Perfect. We can just start recording you. We can start doing snippets for you to send to LA so you can just... you know, get hired already. But yeah, I love the scene. And honestly, a lot of it is because of that super high soprano. And it just really, again, thanks to David Collins pointing this out from Empire, but it just makes me think of the siren song, right? Like that we kind of hear when they're approaching Cloud City. Mm-hmm. This is the siren music for these two characters, right? They've brought everything into, like they are behind the scenes. They're dragging everybody in and just for their annihilation. So I love that music, how haunting, and it's like eerily beautiful, but eerily, yeah. Right? Like it's creepy pretty.
Right, exactly.
And I love it. It's these two masterminds coming together, and you know, like they're a force to be reckoned with. And again, it's a different dynamic than Sidious with Maul. Like it, you know, that's like an aggressive predator. Whereas here, it's like these are two chess masters putting all the pieces together, and they're about to let the galaxy fall apart, and then they'll take up, you know, they'll pick up the pieces.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you know, it's. I like that he says, you know, welcome home. Like again, there's always this sense with Sidious that he, you know. Like there's some level of like I care about them, right? Like even in, you know, Return of the Jedi, like rise my friend, you know, like he refers to Vader as a friend, you know, welcome home, Lord Tyrannus, you've done well. Like there's always like this undergirding of like some level of praise and acceptance, but you know, that praise only goes as far as you're doing my bidding.
Exactly. And one wonders how much sarcasm he's slipping into those statements.
Sure. Yeah. But I love this scene. It's so cool. And just, you know, Tyrannus, like he just towers over him, like Christopher Lee, such a tall man. Like, it's so cool just watching even the physical dynamics between the two, like as he falls in stride next to him, but a little bit back, like he's always a little bit behind him because, again, it's that subservient role. And Palpatine praises him because he's done what he's asked. So it's I love that scene. So what do you got for us for your number three?
Well, my number three comes from Revenge of the Sith. And it's the scene where we get the anointing of Darth Vader, basically, you know, after Anakin has, you know, come to Palpatine's rescue there, the chamber is cut off Mace Windu's hand, Palpatine throws Mace Windu out the window, and then we get the scene where Darth Vader is born, and Palpatine, you know, gives him his mission. It's such a well-done scene. And for all the things that Revenge of the Sith had to do, it had to make that transition from Anakin to Darth Vader. And the moment that Anakin becomes Darth Vader did not disappoint.
No.
With this scene. So I absolutely love this particular part of this whole sequence. But especially the idea that Palpatine is finally letting the dark side flow through him in such a way that it's, you know, distorting his voice a little bit. And, you know, he's, you know, you shall be known as Darth Vader, you know, it just, you know, it's like
you're nailing
flowing him. Through him and in such a way that it's just distorting everything. It's so good. And Anakin's very much backed into a corner with it all and has no other choice but to accept this new position in life in a very subservient way. So,
yeah, that's for sure. You know, that I kind of left this scene off my list. I don't really know why. It's not on my list. Well, maybe just because, you know, whenever I make these lists, I write down the first things that come to mind because those are obviously my favorite things.
Right.
And after I finished my list, I was like, oh, well, that's kind of a big scene, but it's not necessarily one of my favorite ones. So, I mean, yeah, I probably could have thrown this on even at least as another honorable mention. But the thing that I love most about the scene, and I think I've made this comment before, but I just love that the fact that like the Coruscant night traffic is just going on in the background. It really gives a perspective to like, this is a very private moment where everybody else is just going about their lives without realizing like the impact of what's about to befall the galaxy. Because now Sidious, in a way, he has a new Darth Maul, because Darth Vader, unlike Dooku, is going to basically just be a weapon. And what's the first thing he has him do? Go and slaughter Jedi at the temple. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, and it seems like even in, especially in Revenge of the Sith, the whole thing he's kind of pruning Anakin for, the reason he's after him is just because of his raw power, you know, and he wants to use that power for its violent abilities. You know, Dooku's brilliant and smart. Like, there's a lot he could use with Dooku's mind and charisma. That's not what he's going to get with Anakin, and he knows that. And he embraces that, which is part of why, like, Anakin and him have, like, a nice relationship before he even does fall. Like, because Palpatine's always, like, embracing him, even at his worst. Remember what you told me about your mother and the sand people? That's not a very good question, but yeah, no, it's a really cool scene. And I mean, it's something we've been wanting to see for a very long time. And it's so cool that it happens. But again, the difference is, though, is Anakin is submitting himself simply because of, he thinks this is a way of getting something out of it for Padme, you know, like, so it's debatable, you know, initially, if Anakin's really pledging himself to the Sith. I think, again, he's pledging himself almost in a false way, because he's just trying to get something out of it. He just wants to use Sidious for his supposed power.
Right.
And that's it. But yeah, that is a great moment. It'd be hard to leave that off of both of our lists. So I'm glad it's on. I'm glad it's in there. You just saved us a 1-star iTunes review.
So. Oh man. So number two, right?
Yes, number two. And I will say this, both of my top two are Vader and Sidious moments. I'm going to play just a very short part of this clip because it's kind of a longer clip, but I'm just going to play one particular part and I'll say why in a second.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Admiral, what is it?
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
Move the ship out of the asteroid field so that we can send a clear transmission.
Okay, so I played this part of the clip. It's the Skype call between the Emperor and Vader in Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
But this is something I picked up when...
They have better signal than we did.
Yes, they did. They always do. This is something Sam Witwer pointed out in one of the commentary tracks I listened to that he was on Rebel Force Radio. And he points out that Vader's breathing skips a beat.
Yes.
When he says, the Emperor commands you to make contact with him. So I'll turn that up again really quick here. Listen to his breathing when he says the Emperor commands you.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Admiral, what is it?
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
Move the ship out of the asteroid field so that...
You know, he's just like,
right.
And he's like, I think
breath it's, catches in his throat.
Yeah, like he has to, he craps his pants a little bit there. and I think it's because he knows, Vader's after Luke because he wants to turn him to the dark side as his apprentice to overthrow Sidious.
Right.
And we can assume Vader hasn't mentioned any of this to the Emperor yet. And he kind of plays dumb during the Skype call. And by the way, I love referring to that as Skype. I wish Skype worked like that. I wish I had like a holo image over there. It's so cool that, again, one of the few highlights, in my opinion, of the Star Wars comic, because overall it's been garbage. But one of the few highlights is the fact that Boba Fett does figure out that, the identity of the rebel pilot who destroyed the Death Star, it's Luke Skywalker. And, Vader immediately knows who he is. That's really cool. And that's why he's obsessed with finding him at the beginning of the film. He wants, if Force Unleashed were canon, he wants a new Star-Lord, mm-hmm. And who better than his own son? Because he also probably knows that his son is going to have an innate strength in the Force, just like he did. He's the child of the Chosen One. And then the call itself, it's just this great moment of somewhat cat and mouse. This is the first time in the film, because again, Vader's already killed two officers. He's, shown his brutality in A New Hope. This is the first time we see him intimidated by someone to some degree, right? Right. He catches his breath, like, oh crap, it's almost like a little kid, I got caught, caught trying to prune a new apprentice, and in that conference call, he admits to the Emperor, he's beating around the bush there, and he's saying he's not that powerful, why don't we just get him to turn, we'll turn him together. But they both know why. Like, the Emperor's like, fine, you do the dirty work, you bring him in, and then I'll train him and we'll kill you. And Vader's thinking, I'll train him and we'll kill you. So again, just that the dynamics of these Sith dark side relationships is, it's always like this plotting against the other.
Yeah, it really is. It's almost out in the open at this point, but they're pretending it's not.
Yeah.
And it's a call where... Vader's constantly wondering how much Palpatine knows, and Palpatine is sitting there going, how much is Vader hiding from me?
Yeah.
it is a great scene, especially, in light of the prequels and learning more about the history of those two. So I like the scene, and I love the fact that they were able to redo it with Ian McDiarmid.
Yeah, it's great with Ian McDiarmid, and that added dialogue certainly works, in my opinion.
I agree.
So what's your number two?
Well, my number two comes from Return of the Jedi, and this is when old Palpy pits father and son against each other. You know, it's hard for me to pick a specific moment from the end of Return of the Jedi, but Palpatine is pitting Vader and Luke against each other. There's no doubt about it. He's not even hiding it. He's, you know, it's unashamedly, you know, you're going to be my apprentice, which means that you're replacing your father. And it's basically a test for the two of them, you know, test for Vader to see if he can step up to the plate and maintain his position as Palpatine's right hand. And it's a test for Luke to see if he can step up to the plate and overtake that position as Palpatine's right hand. And Palpatine loves toying with these two, with the Skywalkers here, and pitting them against each other. And just, you know, as soon as they cross blades for the first time, he starts cackling with glee. You know, this is how excited he is about this whole situation. You know, he loves this part of the game. And, you know, it's hard for me to pick a specific moment, so I'm just going to say in general, just the pitting of father and son against each other by Palpatine is my number two and one of my favorite parts of that end section of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I mean, Sidious is all about shopping around for the most powerful apprentice.
You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's always looking to upgrade to a newer model.
Yeah, Sidious should be the new host of TV shows The Apprentice. Because, you know, he'd be like,
you're fired.
Yeah.
From life.
So, yeah, no, that's such a great, you know, those are all like, it is hard to pin down just one of those specific moments because it's just this pitting them against one another. And, you know, again, it's the highlight of what it means to be in a Sith apprenticeship. It's, you know that too, like to some degree, even as an apprentice, like you, if you don't stay powerful or eventually overthrow your master, he's going to find a replacement for you. You know, it's almost
he's
like
both, find someone better, faster, more skilled at what he needs, you know.
Right. Both master and apprentice are constantly shopping for somebody else. You know, it's almost like the master grooms the apprentice to a certain point, gets what he needs out of it, and then, you know, kind of keeps his eyes open for something better, whereas the apprentice is looking around to find someone to help him overthrow the master.
Exactly. And it's the way of the Sith. So
yes,
I love it.
Yeah. So we're down to our number one. My number one also comes from Return of the Jedi, and I do have another quick video clip to play because I don't think we've ever done this scene on the show, which I'm excited about. So here's my favorite one.
Ooh. I told you to remain on the command ship.
A small rebel force has penetrated the shield and landed on Endor.
Yes, I know.
My son is with them.
Are you sure?
I have felt him, my master.
Strange that I have not. I wonder if your feelings on this matter are clear, Lord Vader.
They are clear, my master.
Then you must go to the Centauri Moon and wait for him.
He will come to me.
I have foreseen it. His compassion for you will be his undoing. He will come to you, and then you will bring him before me.
As you wish.
So that is my oddly favorite master apprentice moment for the dark side.
Nice.
And this scene is so great because it's not even so much about really even the dynamic between those two, but I mean, it's great because there's a connection between father and son that the Emperor is not immediately aware of, which is so cool because, you know, we should do it just a quick tally, but how many times the Emperor says, you know, things are proceeding as he has foreseen them. Right, he's the one who's always driving the ship, and he's always in control. But he does not know this. He knows that there's a, you know, like when he says, like, you know, a rebel force has landed on Endor. Yeah, I know. My son's with them. That I didn't know. You know,
right.
Um, And it's really cool because it creates that tension, which you were talking about in your number two, that is going to kind of come to a head. But the tension here is specifically more for the Emperor. I think he's the one who's actually feeling a little more threatened, because Vader's coming to him almost for advice, right? Like, what do I do? He's there now. But I think, you know, I wonder if your feelings on this matter are clear. Like, what are you in this for, Vader? Like, your exactly. Your job is to bring him to me, and then we will turn him. You know, I mean, he's onto him. He knows what he's worried about, what he's ultimately after. And, you know, Vader's like, no, that's not what's going on. Also, a really cool scene that precedes this, which is one of the deleted scenes from Return of the Jedi. And again, you can get this on YouTube, or it's also on the Blu-rays. But, you know, the scene when he goes to see the Emperor, and the Emperor doesn't want to be disturbed, and Moff Djerid's there, and he force chokes him. And then, the royal guards lift their force pikes. And he's like, I wait on the Emperor's command. And he's like, okay, he'll see you now. But, like, you know, Vader's, like, pissed. Like, he needs to get up there. That's the fact that that's the scene that precedes it. You know, if again, it's not in the movie, but at least it was a deleted scene. And it's just this great moment of the one weakness between a master and his apprentice is ever being able to see their emotions. Because that connection of Vader and Luke, it's an emotional one. It's a familial right. one. And that's the one thing. The dark side can't see into that light. To me, it's almost like to somewhat contrast what's going on in episode two, right? Like Yoda and Mace are always talking about how they can't see exactly what's going on in the Force because the dark side clouds everything. Well, for the
Emperor to see the future is
right. Sorry, and anyway. For the Emperor, the one thing he can't see into the light side, right? Like the light side is at work bringing father and son back together so that there can be this redemption moment. The Emperor can't see that, right? Like he's so caught in the dark, he can't see the light. So I just really like that there's the Vader doesn't exactly know what's going on either. I mean, that's why he brings it to him. You know, he could have just gone down there and the Emperor would have never been the wiser, but he brings it to him because I think he's perplexed as well. And, you know, this is the first time where Sidious can't see. And we see the ultimate weakness of a Sith master apprentice relationship is they are totally blind to any sense of emotion in the other. So that's how you get something past them is you have a light side thought.
Right.
So,
yeah. But the one thing I do notice is that while, yes, he is a bit surprised that Luke is there and that Vader has sensed him and, you know, he hasn't, he does quickly recover by saying, you know, go to the Sanctuary Moon and wait for him. And Vader is like, you know, a bit surprised. He will come to me. And then you just see Palpatine sort of, you know, set himself back in his chair.
Swagger back.
in a very smug sort of way going, yes, I'm back on top here. Yeah.
I have foreseen it. His compassion for you will be his undoing. And he proceeds, you know, he will come to you and then you will bring him before me. And he's able to reassert himself there at the very end to sort of cover the fact that he completely missed that Luke was there on Endor, you know, the first go around. So,
yeah. Yeah. So I'm really curious for your number one. You always surprise me, which I appreciate.
When I say it, you won't be surprised.
Okay.
but it's a little thing I like to call Night at the Opera.
Okay. Yeah. Well, not surprised.
I told you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this scene. This is, you know, as close as what we're going to get, ever going to get to see Palpatine teaching, you know, in a teaching sense at this point. This is the closest we've gotten to see him, like, teaching an apprentice. And it's so manipulative there, of course, in Revenge of the Sith, when Anakin goes to see him in the opera, and he tells him, you know, his concerns about the Jedi Council and that they're going to turn against him and that you're not included in their plot and all this stuff. And then he, you know, decides to spring the tale of Darth Plagueis the Wise on Anakin. And give him the idea that, you know, through the dark side, he was able to create life.
Yes.
And this is where Sidious sets the hook in Anakin. And they're not technically master and apprentice at this point, but they might as well be. And it is one of my, if not my favorite scene in Revenge of the Sith. I love this scene so much. And it's Palpatine's moment of glory, and everyone knows how much I like my Palpatine. So, is it possible to learn this power?
Not from a Jedi.
I love it.
That is a very good scene. Yeah, you know, it's the most, like you said, it's the kind of like it, kind of the top of the show. I was talking, you know, about the Dooku Savage moment is really the only time we get actual Sith training on, you know, on camera in a way for Star Wars. This is the first time where we see how a Sith Lord gets an apprentice. Right? Like, we don't see how he gets Dooku. We don't see how he gets Maul. I mean, we get allusions to that for Maul in the Clone Wars. We get allusions in some of the now Legends novels. There's a little bit of that in the Labyrinth of Evil novel about, you know, how Sidious seeks out Dooku. But we never get it on camera. But it seems like, at least for Sidious, he gets to know the apprentice, right? Like, he needs to know how to bring them in. You know, right. It seems like with Dooku, he uses Dooku's desire to make the Republic a better place. Like, he senses the corruption. He wants to figure out how to, you know, fix that. So that's what Sidious uses with him. Like, well, we'll start this war and then we'll take control. And we're good guys. We'll take care of it. Don't know exactly what it is with Maul. I mean, Maul's culture is a warrior culture. So he gives his warrior sensibility a sense of purpose, probably. Mm-hmm. And with Anakin doesn't want to lose the woman he loves. So, well, hey, by the way, there's this little trick I know, you know?
Right.
So it shows...
Dark side is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
And I love this scene. It's really funny because it's one of the longest dialogue scenes in Star Wars, period. Mm-hmm. And yet I'm at the edge of my seat the entire time with it, so...
Yeah. Well, that creepy music certainly helps.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the way a Sith Lord brings you in is by promising you something that they won't exactly keep. Right? Like, so they sense something that you think you need. They tell you they'll give it to you, and then you're at their whim, right? Jedi, when a Jedi comes in, you know what you're kind of signing up for. With a Sith, there's an initial lie to some degree. I mean, I guess it doesn't lie to Anakin. Apparently, Plagueis did figure that out, but Anakin...
He just conveniently left out the fact that he didn't know.
Right. Yeah.
How it happened.
Exactly. So, awesome.
No, if we work together, we can discover the secret.
Funny you say that after you've knighted him, Darth Vader.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, there you go. Do you have anything else you want to mention about any of these moments?
No, I've enjoyed taking this trip through the dark side.
Yes. You know, I did too, but I really want to get to the light. So I'm glad we did this one first. But yeah, so obviously that's what we'll be doing next week on next week's episode, is something very similar, but we'll be looking at light side master apprentice relationships. And I think that'll be easy to highlight some of the key differences between a dark side master apprentice and a light side master apprentice. They're quite different.
Quite.
But before we wrap this up and give you our new matchup, one last plug for our Patreon. Jason and I were really hoping for both this month and last month to be able to get pledges of $75 each month. And you know, our promise to you is if we get that, we will do, you know, a short show for our patrons at the end of each night of the convention. Unfortunately, we failed both months. So in our last ditch effort to make this happen is if we can get just $100 pledged just for the month of April, you know, I think we're sitting at $68 right now. If you guys can help us get up to $100 for the month of April, we will, again, sit down each night and record a short episode kind of recapping the day for you, our patrons. So if you can help in any way, and I get it, I know what it's like to be tight on money or just straight up poor, you know, but any help you can give us, even if it's just a dollar, you know, we've got the different tiers on there. We've done some of our Rebels reviews for the folks in that tier. So, you know, if any way you can help us, head on over to Patreon and do that if you can. But hey, you might just be like, you know, I'm not interested. I know plenty of other people who will be doing coverage every day, and I'd rather listen to them. That's fair enough too. We will do a pre-show regardless, and we will certainly do a recap show afterwards, full blown episodes. But, if you want to get like kind of the in the moment reactions, help us get to $100 for the next month, and we're going to do that.
Yes, indeedy do. And I'm just excited that it's actually happening. It's
yes.
It's almost here.
I know it. I can't wait. It's and the thing that's like I've been telling some, you know, some of my friends around here, I'm like, they're like, wow, 4 days for a Star Wars convention. I'm like, you don't get it. I was like, it's not just the Star Wars convention. I was like, these are friends that I literally only see at these conventions. So I see them like every other year. I'm like, my co-hosts, like, we've been podcasting for 5 years and we've only hung out 4 times. So
right.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm really glad that we get to hang out again. That's always my favorite part.
Wait, is it 4 times or is this will be 4?
This will be 4. That's right. Yeah. Two celebrations and a fan day.
Yes.
So,
oh my gosh.
And also just
Carl,
I know. And just
I need to see your face.
I know. You're going to.
Good.
And we know lots of you Larians were going to be there at Orlando as well. So again, we still haven't figured out exactly what we're doing yet, but we will be doing a meetup one of the evenings of the convention. We'd love to meet you guys, get a picture with you guys. If you have a Wampa's Lair shirt, be sure to bring it and wear it. If you don't have a Wampa's Lair shirt, you can head over to TeePublic and pick one up before the show. If you want to, if you want to have a really cool, unique, Star Wars shirt at the convention, Wampa's Lair is a great way to go. I got to order a couple more myself because I got to be supporting the show while I'm there. So
yeah.
But anyway, that's enough from us. That's enough asking you guys to do things. We appreciate all you do as it is. Just so you know, like, what? No way trying to push you guys to monetize our show for us. But essentially, the reason we're even asking is you know, by having some extra money, it allows us to throw ourselves a little bit more into the convention, and we're going to give that back to you guys by giving you, you know, those live coverage shows each evening. So,
Exactly.
So, but again, thank you to those of you who already pledge and to those of you who can't, totally cool too. Thank you just for even continuing to contribute with the show by sending us emails with feedback, sending us, you know, your thoughts on Facebook and, you know, Twitter. Just participating in the matchups is a great deal of fun. So we always appreciate any and all support you guys can give.
Exactly. And that's a great segue into our matchup. So, hey, let's make this as obvious as possible. so yeah, our matchup, since we're doing this whole Master Apprentice thing, we thought we'd do a Master Apprentice team up matchup. So we are going to be pitting the Master Apprentice duo of Dooku and Qui-Gon versus the Master Apprentice duo of Obi-Wan and Anakin. So a pair that we don't know a lot about versus a pair that is a bit immature. And we are thinking primarily Episode 2, Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Right.
Because Clone Wars is they're past the Master Apprentice formal stage, so and obviously we're not going into Revenge of the Sith with that, so
right.
But yeah, so that will be our matchup for our next episode. And Carl, if they want to weigh in on this matchup or any of our lists here, where can they do that?
Well, they can of course do it over on facebook.com/wampaslairpodcast. Follow us on twitter.com/wampaslair. And like I said, Patreon, our Patreon page is patreon.com/wampaslairpodcast. You can always email us at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Anything else before we wrap this up, Carl?
No, my master.
Excellent. Your answer is exactly what I foresee.
And that will wrap up this episode of the Wampa Slayer podcast. This has been episode number 223. Yes, my master. For Carl, I'm Jason, and remember, we will see you next time here in Wampa Slayer.